Yeah. Hi, everyone. Like Lisa said, my name is Terry. I have a course coming up in the evening, and it's funny. I teach most nights, and it literally is the best part of my job. I just love this course. I love the curriculum. I love the content. I love teaching it. I literally, Lisa, you're gonna laugh at me. I texted one of our colleagues right after, and I said, "Oh my gosh, I just need to pinch myself. I love teaching this. It's so awesome." Anyway, so yes, this is definitely the best part of my job is teaching these courses. So I, as Lisa said, my name is Carrie, and I'm a faculty member and mentor coach here at Coach Training Alliance. I was certified in 2011 through Coach Training Alliance, so I'm also a CTA grad. There's some other programs within CTA that I've been involved in and that I'm teaching, continuing education courses as well. I think I've trained over 180 to 200 coaches. I haven't gone back and counted in a while. So, but I'm really honored to be here today and share with you more about coaching and what CTA is all about and the coaching process itself. And I won't spend too much time on myself, but long story short, I found coaching through my yoga practice. I was teaching a lot full time. I was leading teacher trainings and different wellness programs. I was a wellness coach, so I thought I was definitely that person that everyone was coming to for advice, or can I pick your brain, or can I have coffee with you? And once I was introduced to coaching, I immediately saw the value it would bring to my professional life, obviously, but also my personal life. Like I said, with all that teaching and training I was doing, I became that go-to person, which I'm sure many of you can relate to. And I was coaching, I just wasn't getting paid for it. And honestly, I really did lack the tools and that conversational model that ultimately CTA gave me. So what I love about coaching is that it gives the person, the client, the tools to look within. And as a coach, that's really what I get to do. I get to hold the space for my clients to come into alignment. I kind of call myself an alignment junkie because I really do believe when you align and every aspect of your being and your life, doors open, right? And it takes looking within and getting really curious and starting to see what's in alignment and what's out of alignment for a person to come into optimal alignment. And that's obviously different for every person. So I was teaching and I was coaching, and I always say, okay, I get to teach yoga, and that's, I get to help people find physical alignment in their bodies. And then when I'm coaching, I get to help people find optimal alignment in their professional life or their personal life. When I first started coaching, my audience, my target audience, my market was working with other yoga instructors and other coaches to build their businesses. Because of my experience in the yoga and coaching industry and the wellness industry, it just kind of naturally came to be. Those were the clients I was attracting and working with most of the time. Over the last couple years, my specialty has shifted to integrate another lifelong passion of mine that actually has to do with horses. So October 2018, so 2 years ago, I launched a yoga and coaching business called Mind Body Horse. And thankfully, it's all online. The classes are online, the workshops are online, and obviously I'm coaching over the phone or via Zoom with my clients. But I coach equestrians in certain disciplines, the competitive equestrians, on sort of work-life balance and mindset management. So that's been really exciting, and I feel like that's something that I have to bring to the table since I started my business kind of all over again, because I really wanted to go down this road with equestrians. I saw the need for it and the want for it in that industry, in that market. I had to start kind of all over again with branding and my marketing message, building a website, social media, new social media accounts. So it's not too long ago that I started all that from scratch again. So I feel like I can offer a lot of insight, and I kind of get where you guys are at when you're looking at building all of those things and starting from scratch. So that's something unique, I feel like, that I have to bring to the table as a mentor coach. The last thing I want to tell you guys is that the simple coaching model is amazing, and that is why I chose BCA. Every single step of the simple coaching model is rooted in the neuroscience of change. I geek out on that stuff, and I like to know, okay, why is this working? Why do we do this? And there's a why behind every single step of that simple coaching model, and like I said, it's rooted in the neuroscience of change, and it's amazing how it works. I tell my students all the time, once you go through this program and learn how to coach, you can coach anyone on anything. It's just amazing how it works. So the magic of coaching, I always say this is the course that I wish, I mean, I feel sometimes that we should be teaching this in high school. This should be a class requirement because of everything that you learn and how you can use it on yourself. You can use it in your everyday conversations. You can use it with family members and friends. It changes your relationship in such a positive way, and obviously with your clients. So, okay, that's a little bit about me. Now, I wanted to go into the coaching demo. And Aisha, thank you so much for the opportunity to coach you.
Thank you for having me.
So in a moment, I'll do what's called clarifying the agenda. And what the agenda is anything that you want to work on, anything that a client wants to work on, work through, explore. So I'm going to ask you to have a clearly articulated takeaway for today's session, something that you'd like to have change around. And that'll be, again, that's your agenda. So, with that said, Aisha, what would you like to bring some change to in this session?
Well, as I've been, I guess kind of like I only had the epiphany that coaching was really going to be for me just kind of very recently. And even though now that I reflect on it, actually it's kind of always been around. So as I've been kind of exploring these different things, one thing that I've been wrestling with a little bit is finding the niche that I would like to focus on. And part of, you know, like figuring that out has been, I guess, kind of me reflecting on what my journey has been in my current profession and what and where I want to go. So I guess the takeaway I would like is kind of more clarity around that.
Okay. So more clarity around the direction that you'd like to take your coaching business?
Yes.
Okay. Great. So when you close your eyes and think about the types of people that you would like to work with, what comes to mind for you? Anything at all that comes to mind?
There's lots of people I'd like to help. I feel like I want to help everyone. But I think that teachers, I am a teacher, and I always, certainly earlier in my career, felt very strongly that that was a group of people that I felt needed a lot of support, specifically with like work-life balance and burnout and stuff like that. And so that's kind of where I was really interested in being supportive. But then part of me, I don't know, like has like doubts about that. Like, is that the right thing to do? And then the other side of me really wants to help, like young people. It's funny that you were saying about how you thought that it should be taught in schools. And it's like, I also agree. Because, you know, I think, you know, I do this kind of stuff a lot with my students anyway, you know, beyond the subject specific stuff. So
So you're kind of torn. It sounds like you have some ideas, but you could go a couple different ways with this. How will you know when you've made the right decision on which way to go?
I've been definitely, like, speaking to other, like, friends and colleagues in the profession and just kind of just poking a little bit and asking questions. And I definitely, yesterday after speaking to one of my friends, it kind of reminded me of how, like, kind of reignited how I used to feel about supporting teachers, because I actually kind of thought maybe teachers are the ones to support, because I also want to kind of improve the quality of teaching for kids. And I feel like if teachers are feeling good and cared about and doing well and able to manage all the things that they have to manage, then that translates to the kids. And so I feel like that put, I just felt like more aligned with that. It was like kind of like an aha moment for me.
That's a great way to cover both of those categories.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
That's great. That is a great aha. So what, okay, so back to that question, and your aha is amazing. That's great. But back to that question, how will you know when you're successful at making this decision, or how will you know, what will it feel like for you when you
pick
the right group of people?
I think I'll just feel, like, it's hard to, I feel like, so, like, say 2 days, like, the more I'm talking about you, the more, to you, the more I'm realizing, like, I think I have made my decision, because just reflecting on how I was feeling before, I kind of have, like, a physiological feeling when things aren't quite right, I just feel a little bit unsettled, like, it's, like, a niggling kind of pain. So I feel like when I'm, like, on the right track, I have, like, it's, like, I'm at peace. Like, there's, like, balance in my body.
Yeah, you're really in touch with your intuition. That's awesome. And your gut instinct. That's great.
Yeah.
So my next question actually was going to be, what is your gut telling you?
I feel like it's telling me that to explore this, I mean, part of me is like, there's a little bit of fear. Like, will people pay for this? Do teachers actually want this? I also had a friend who, like, you know, I told you I reached out to a few friends, and, like, you know, a couple of the friends just, like, were a bit snickery about it. And then I thought, well, is that going to be the majority, you know? But then on the other hand, one of my other friends private messaged me and was like, I think this would be perfect for me. Like, so it made me feel, you know.
So I would like to do a little exercise. Whenever fears come up, it's a great opportunity to look at what you're focusing on, reframe it, and then move forward with the reframe. So, and it's kind of a step-by-step process, a coaching tool that I love to use, and I feel like this is a good opportunity to use it. So let's go to that fear and make it a statement as specific as you can. I'm afraid that. So you told me, I'm afraid that teachers won't want this and they may not want to pay for it. But put it in your own words. That's just an example. Like, what are, I'm afraid that.
I'm afraid that teachers won't want to access this and that they won't see the value in it. And that they may not, pay for that.
Okay. Great. So if we just kind of summed it up and said, I'm afraid that teachers won't see the value in coaching and won't pay for it and won't invest in it. Okay. Okay. Just writing this down. And will not want to invest in it. Okay. So what we focus on expands for better or for worse, right? And it's totally normal to have these fears. But what's cool is that you can, the next step in this exercise is actually to flip it. So you're going to change this, I'm afraid that teachers won't see the value in coaching and will not invest in it. You're going to change that to an I will statement or a declaration of some kind. And it could be like, teachers will see the value in my coaching and will want to invest. That's just an example. So you tell me what resonates with you.
I think that was fine. Teachers will see the value in this and want to invest in it.
Okay. So, now that that's your statement, teachers will see the value in coaching and will want to invest in it. Does that feel good? Do you need to add anything to that? Can you own that?
Yeah, I can. Because I actually think that part of the reason, like, for that fear or whatever is also a part, like, not a cultural thing with teachers, but it's a little bit like this attitude of, like, not deserving that or not needing coaching. Does that make sense?
So I feel that resonates
with me, that they will see the value.
Great. Good. Okay. Now, with that, what is one small thing that you can do in the next day or two to move towards that?
Well, I think what I am doing, which is like doing this coaching training and trying to, I guess, just make myself even more credible. Like, I feel like I'm credible to talk to. I think I have credibility with teachers because of my experience. But I feel like gaining competence as a coach will give me more confidence in the service I'm offering them. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So that's something that I chose to do within the next day. Like, was it?
Oh, great. So, like, you're probably going to make your decision in the next day on a training to really become a certified coach. And I hear you saying that you have the credibility as a teacher, so they already trust you and know that you know what it's like to be in their shoes. And then this is just going to take it up another level, and you'll feel more confident. And you think,
Because even, like, as a teacher, like, that's part of, like, how you build confidence in your students. When they feel competent in doing something, that builds their confidence in being able to do that and their self-efficacy. So I sort of am applying that to myself because I feel like I know, like, I feel confident so I'm genuine about education and teaching and even mentoring teachers and that kind of stuff. That's being part of my job. But to, like, on this level, I accept that this is not an area of expertise for me. And I think to be able to really truly offer and know that I have this other layer of confidence, I think I can feel very good about or extra good about what I'm offering, if that makes sense, which I think will help people trust me more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's an inside-out process, right? So you're going to be showing up from a more competent place. And that's what your clientele will feel that. And value it and respect it. So why, anything else that comes up that this stuff, committing to a training and making a decision over the next day or so, how and why is this going to move you forward? You explained it a little bit, but anything else comes to mind of how this moves you forward? Why this matters?
I think it really matters because I think it's the first step in improving my level of competence to be able to support people, because my ultimate goal is that my clients' lives will be changed, and I want to feel like I've done 100% of the work I can do with me to be able to kind of, I guess, act like a vessel for them, you know what I mean? So I feel like that, so for me, I'm just like, I'm committing to the work. It's also about me saying to myself, hey, you're actually going to do this. You know, it's not a case of like, you're just pretending, you're just toying with an idea. You're actually going to do it.
Awesome. So if you could spell out that next step, what does that look like? What is the timeline? Let's get really specific about that next step.
My next step is to obviously, after this call, evaluate kind of when, like, the next steps can happen. So I'll be making that decision, like, once I, you know, finish with this session and and take a look at times and dates and all that kind of stuff. And then as I already have, I guess, like, my first clients, I guess, because, like, my friend did reach out and say that she really is, like, heavy services. So, like, I'm not going to charge her. Obviously, like, I, for me, like, I feel like this is an opportunity for me to not only help a friend, but for her to also be helping me through my journey into becoming a coach and, and us being able to have a little bit of an honest conversation about that. And I also see it as a possibility that going forward for those naysayers or people who can promote your business, like, she could be an advocate for me, like, when I do help her through this stuff. So,
she'll be a great testimonial.
So and so my plan is, like, to start learning how to be a coach and to be helping her at the same time and kind of working through things that way. So I guess my timeline is that I kind of already started my business.
That's awesome. And what a wink from the universe, right? That you have someone in the target audience, an ideal client reach out to you. So that's awesome. That's great. So what kind of accountability do you need moving forward with this? Is there anything you need accountability-wise?
I think, like, this is where I struggle sometimes because, and I don't know, like, whether it's, like, a little bit of my perfectionist personality or whatever. Like, I kind of struggle with, like, I did, for example, Noom. When I was trying to lose weight, and I didn't find it helpful to have someone going, what do you want to do this week? What did you do? Did you do the things you said you were going to do? I actually didn't find that, like, helpful. Does that make sense? Like,
I think everybody's different, so that's great to know what works for you. What does work for you?
I just find, like, I don't mind, like, having, like, okay, some goals set, or speaking about things like I'm fearful of, like maybe checking in with me about that, those kinds of things. I generally will do what I say I'm going to do, or I want like some input about what we said. Like I found like just these kind of general statements like, did you do, you know, like it just felt really impersonal and kind of annoying. Whereas like, I think if someone is like genuinely aware of, okay, so you said you were going to do these things, you talked about these fears, and, you know, so how did it go this week? And so you got those things done. Awesome. Like, what are the other things you have time to do? Like, kind of quick, easy, not.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to say this. Like, I don't like it when it's, like, airy-fairy. Like, what are you doing today? Like, you know what I mean? So that's my personality.
It sounds like you're pretty self-driven and self-motivated, and that you do hold yourself accountable. That's what that's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's great. I mean, like I said, everybody's different, right? And so it sounds like you trust yourself. You're in a good place to just be accountable to yourself, and that's awesome. That's great. So with that said, it sounds like you have everything kind of planned out for the next day or two, and know in your mind kind of how you're going to go through the process. Do you feel complete with our session today?
Yeah.
And what was your greatest takeaway from this time together?
I think I realized that I already do have a plan. Like it's in my, like I've got here, like my topic with planning, I need my takeaway is more clarity on that. But I was like, really, I kind of had it. And through this discussion with you, I was clearer about that, if that makes sense. See what I mean? Like, cause I was able to, I realized, oh, actually, you have made
that's great.
Yeah.
And I want to point out that it's, you know, it's easy, right, for us to look for everything that's showing up in our world to support our doubts and our fears. But what is showing up for you is the opposite. It's not, it's supporting your intentions. You know, you already have someone that wants to work with you, which is pretty amazing. So.
Thanks. I'm excited.
Great. Yes. Great. Well, thank you again for the opportunity to coach you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And feel free to reach out, obviously, if you, so that last question, kind of taking my coaching hat off now, I always ask my clients about accountability, what type, and I try never to say, what type of accountability do you need from me? So those of you listening in, you'll notice I didn't put myself in there. I just said, what kind of accountability do you need? Sometimes I say, what kind of accountability works best? Do you need accountability with this? What kind of accountability system works best for you? But just know, I said that it's obviously you can reach out to me if you need anything, along the way. But it sounds like you're that, like I said, self-motivated, self-driven person. So great to know about yourself.
Great.
Awesome. So opening it up to everyone now, what are your questions? What are your observations? What did you guys notice? And maybe Aisha, starting with you, how did it feel to be the client?
It was good, yeah. Like it was good for me to hear how you kind of like structured the conversation, like asking me to like clarify the agenda and what like I wanted to get out of the session. So that gives you like a nice little kind of direction yourself, like, okay, you know, and you can check in with that, like, at the end, what you did there, and then also even just, like, the reframing, I found that really helpful, actually, just the idea to just flip it on its head, like, that negative thinking or that fearful thinking or fear-driven thinking where you're, like, I'm scared of this, but what would happen if this was it? And funnily enough, like I said, my sister, she's supposed to be going to Brazil and all this crazy stuff, and her friend she's supposed to be going would just injured himself, and it's probably not going to be able to go. And it was just like, she was like still in limbo, and I said, well, what if he is going to go, and it is going to be fine? Because you kind of, when you're in that situation, you just always think of the negative.
Yeah.
First.
Yep.
And you can just keep that thought room thing. And it's so limited.
It's so limited. And that's the thing. It's one of the tools that we teach our coaches is about a way to ask questions that point, that helps to keep the client more on the positive track. And the reason is, it's not just because we want to pretend like everything's rainbows and butterflies. Again, there's a rhyme and a reason behind every step and every coaching tool. So when you help a person to focus on what they want instead of what they fear, literally what happens in the brain is that the brain goes from fight or flight mode, which is more narrow-minded, fixed mindset type of thinking, to creative thinking. Literally different parts of the brain light up if you can somehow get your client more on a positive track, right? And focus on what they want and what is within their realm of influence, what they have control over, what they can do. All of a sudden, they're accessing a different part of their brain that is associated with creativity and problem solving. So, and it feels good, right? Like for you, you just said that's kind of what you experienced. And you saw even that little thing of, you know, it's that, oh, well, I do actually have someone that's interested in my coaching. So it's easy to not see that and have the blinders on when we're focusing on fear and doubt.
Totally agree.
Yeah. That's awesome.